This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
What's going on? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy. And on the phone line is radio legend Don Geronimo, one of my influences for going into radio. So this is a very cool moment. What's going on, Don? You're on the show.
Well, hi, Ryan. Good to be with you, and sorry that I'm the reason you got into radio, one of the reasons, but I'm glad to be with you today.
How does that feel, though? Because you're definitely, I know you're very humble and you're very laid back, but you definitely need to know that you are loved throughout radio in the way that I put up a post promoting that you were going to be on, and one of my quote-unquote bosses and the morning guy in Tampa, Mike Calta, he sent me a text, and he was like, oh, my God, I'm a huge fan. So when you get all this love on the Facebook groups of the shows you've been on in the past and social media, does it ever overwhelm you, or do you love all the support of your fans over the years?
Yes to all of that. I mean, the support of the people that listen to the show throughout the years is, as you know, the most important thing, because if you don't have that, you're not going to make it in radio. But beyond that, you know, all the stuff on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, it's nice. You can't believe it all, because you remember the people that are writing that are the people that are into your show. They're fans. I mean, if you take the time to look at some of the threads on Facebook, and I got to say, every once in a while, I can't help myself. I'll jump in and correct somebody or give somebody shit about something. But generally speaking, I try not to. I mean, I used to get very involved with the internet when it was new because, hey, it was something that was new. But now what's happened is, you know, Ryan, it used to be when you were on the radio, you were a really big deal, because anybody that called you up, if you got mad at them, you know, at least my fallback position was always, well, guess what, dude? I'm on the radio and you're not, so I'm going to hang up on you and you have to listen to my voice. Well, now everybody has social media. Everybody has a podcast. And the playing field has kind of been leveled out. So even more than ever, I take all the good stuff with a grain of salt, right? Because you got to remember that, you know, just 2 years ago, I couldn't find a job at radio.
Yeah.
So I'm glad, excuse me, to have the job. And, you know, it's hard for me to get back to the other question you asked me. It's hard for me to fathom that people think about me like that in radio.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think like that. Yet I certainly have a laundry list of people that I respected and admired and wanted to be like when I was getting into radio. I mean, like John Records Landecker from WLS. When I was a kid, I listened to that guy's show every night. I mean, for the first 5 years I was in radio, I was just copying him directly, overtly directly. And it was one of the greatest experiences of my life then when I worked in Chicago to be able to meet John and to tell him that. So I'm trying to remember that when you tell me that as well. So thank you. That's my long-winded answer. Thanks. It means
so
a lot.
Here's what I'm curious about is, what do you think when you were working in radio throughout the years, what if Facebook and Twitter was around the whole time? Do you think there would have been less characters like the Grease Man, where people that were more anonymous would not have been able to do their thing, and like you being a real person, like how would that have worked with like the weird radio from back in the day and then new radio? What if social media was around the whole time?
I think I would have found a way to embrace it, you know, as I try to now, because the best part of it is, you know, like I just said, there's a lot of bad parts to it, but there's a lot of good parts as well. And you can certainly use social media to get your point out on a topic or a discussion. You can certainly have, you know, one-to-one with people which incidentally is why radio is still the best medium in the world, because you are not going to have a more intimate conversation with someone than someone who's in their car listening to you. And I know that everyone streams and all that other stuff, but that's what I strive for, is that person in the car. And I'm the entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's great. I love that concept.
And I have done some fill-in shows at 102.5 The Bone on the weekend. Like, they'll give me the plane and be like, talk for an hour. So I get to, like, there's like 44 minutes of talking time. So I'm playing news clips. I'm ranting. And I'll get calls. And I definitely relate to you on the intimate thing where, like, for a second there, I think I know who the person is that I'm talking to on the phone. I just pot up the person. I go, hi, you're on the air. And then they'll talk to me. And then there's times where the time flies and I'm talking to them for 4 minutes and it is good radio, but you're like, I'm probably never going to meet this person. I don't know what they do in their life, but they took the time out of their day to call me on the radio. It's the most humbling thing. Even if it's hate, the fact that you got somebody to call a radio show in 2022, it's a cool feeling, dude.
I agree. And like, in the job I got now at Big 100, it's taken a few months for people to figure out you can just call, that I don't always have to have a topic. I don't always have to have a prize. You can just call because, you know, I'll tell you something, Ryan, what's funny, and I've said this on my show before, so it's no big secret. I mean, I think the reason that I've been successful is because I've always just laid my life out there, good, bad, indifferent. And because of that, people honestly think that they know me. So because of that, there's that intimate connection. And what I think is funny is that for years and years in radio, in top 40 radio, and even when I started getting into talk radio, I would have PDs say to me, why do you put your wife on the air? Why do you talk about your kid? Why do you talk about taking your kid to school every morning? Why do you talk about this? Why do you talk about that? Nobody cares about it. You're being selfish. And I can't tell you how many arguments I got in with these dumb shit program directors say, I'm doing this so people can relate to me. It's the easiest thing to do, and I can't believe it that no one else is doing it. Well, now you go to any radio site and you look at what has radio got to do in 2022 to compete. It's like, well, the first thing is have your own unique content. Don't be afraid to talk about your life. Don't be afraid to talk about things that happen to you. Conversations are what it's all about. And I'm like, man, if you guys knew how many times I got called into PD's office and just got ripped for doing exactly what they now want you to do. And the trick is, it's not that easy to do.
Yeah.
You know? So there's a fine line there. It's just, you know, it's a cycle. It's just a cycle, dude. So what you have to do is find what you want to do, what works for you, hone that, refine it, and just stick with it.
Well, also, inside radio, like morning shows, it gets really weird with the fake segments. Like, it's okay for like a morning show, in my opinion, to do like a fake prank call or the dating segment because it works. But I know a morning show of a person around my age, and they have access to a server where all the morning shows, they use those actors. You can hear what the other morning shows are doing. And he said,
"Oh, sure, listen, bro, listen. Yeah. I use that today on my show. Not today, but I mean modern day." I use those.
Yeah.
I use them. But I'm honest with my audience because the audience now is hip to what's going on. I just say, I have a prep service that they pay for.
Yeah.
And every day I get a page of dumb fake calls.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I'll do a whole segment just with fake callers. But my audience knows they're fake callers. They understand how idiotic it is. And then at one point I have to pull the curtain back and say, can you guys imagine there's radio stations all over the country with stupid disc jockeys using this and pretending it's real?
And then also there's a rumor, there's a huge show that he'll say there's different cues of the way he says a word and that you're supposed to laugh at his joke. So there's literally radio guys telling these fake actors, Don, I need you to laugh at what I'm saying. It's sad.
Well, I don't even know what to say about that. I know that if you listen to any show that I've ever done, you would know that the callers are not fake because quite often they're idiots, which is the good part of radio. The first thing that I get most times from people either is it me? Did I win the prize? Can I talk to Don? And it takes an awful lot of time sometimes just with one caller for them to figure out the on-the-air they're on the air with me, because again, they're not used to the fact that they call. I don't like screen calls. I mean, I have a producer who will just get someone's name and put them on. We don't even ask what they want to talk about. But when all 10 lines are ringing, I just go from phone to phone to phone, and people are, they're blown away. It's like, how can I be on the radio? No one even picked up the phone to say hello. Well, I picked up the phone. That's how it works.
So what I want to ask you, because this is like a big moment for me interviewing you, what I want to ask you is...
You need to get some bigger moments. You need to redefine
your goals. I've made the news a few times, but just like, it's just so crazy because like when I was younger, I would go to the library and listen to your old afternoon show back 15 to 17 years ago. And I would literally leave school because I was in Illinois, but I was a big fan of the free FM format, like when I was in sixth grade. So I would literally, So I would literally listen to you. So this is very crazy. But what I want to ask you is when
free FM was very, very stupid. I hope
I know
the concept of it was idiotic.
I know it sucked, but I liked the shows. Like I listened to Dahl and Chicago and ONA and your show. So I was a fan of the shows.
I was talking about how they presented it. That was knee jerk reaction by CBS Radio when Howard left. And my concern was, at least for me, I'd been at WJFK by that point for 15 years.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, these call letters mean something. They're identified with the station, and they just threw it away. They just threw it away like, hey, the new idea is free FM. And, you know, well, you see how that worked out.
Oh, that died so fast. But what I've always respected about you, and I want to ask you, is on a slow news day, especially now where you're doing the morning show by yourself, essentially, how do you find things to talk about if it's like a slow news day? So maybe once the Super Bowl's over with February 27th, when you got to fill 2 hours of talking time for the whole morning, what is the key to find prep when there might literally not be any?
The key, I would think, honestly, and I think anyone who knows what they're doing in this job, and that's there's a lot of pros out there, the key is that you never stop prepping. That I'm always watching TV, reading something, looking at something on my phone. I used to be a big one for post-it notes. Now I just use Siri. I am constantly just saying, Siri, remind me to talk about 1883 tomorrow. Siri, remind me to talk about the asshole across the street from me. Siri, remind me to talk about my dog shitting on the carpet. I do it all the time. I do it all the time. I don't know what to say except, you know, like it drives my wife crazy because it's like there's no off switch for it. We could be watching TV, and I'll just pause it, and I go, hold on a second. And it'll just be out of nowhere, be like, Siri, remind me tomorrow morning at 6:45. I got an idea for a contest. Boom, 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 boom. That's just how it works. It's just because I never stop. A good show for me is where I've got 4 hours worth of prep, and I don't get to any of it.
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
Because that's the key. If you get in there and you get on a roll with something, just go with it. But I always know if things go south, I do have a lot of material to get back to. And that's the key is over prepping so that you're never caught with your pants down. This morning, here's a good example. We had a transformer blow in the building next to us. And this fried all of the circuitry throughout our 5 radio stations. So at one point, the lights started to flicker. The monitors were going in and out. And spots and music and traffic were all playing at the same time.
Oh, my God.
On all 5 radio stations. Now, you know, I leaned into it because what else are you going to do? People couldn't hear me on the phone because the board hadn't been reset. We were popping on and off the air. Elements were starting and stopping. And, you know, at that point, like I said, you've just got to go all in on whatever it is. I didn't lie to my audience. I explained to them, you know, everything here is run by computer. And the guy down the hall, the station down the hall, pushed a button to start his commercials, and they started mine. When I pushed the button to stop it, it started the commercials down the hall at the other radio station. When they pushed the button, it started the other guy's commercials. I mean, this was a jolly CF that we were involved in today, yet I would guess that most people that listened to my show thought it was a really good show, even though the first hour and a half was full of dead air, starts, stops, phone calls, people can't hear me. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's just, I learned that a long time ago. When things go bad, just lean into it. Don't lie to your audience. Just say, this is what's happening to me today. I mean, that's what happened to me today. At least that's how I make myself sleep tonight. It's like, I had an okay show today. I dealt with everything that happened. But even in that case, I guess my answer to you is, in that case, I reacted in the moment and I lived with what I had going on. But my long-term plan was, if this continued for 2 or 3 hours, I knew that I had material. There are topics that I was researched on, that I had an opinion on, that I knew I could talk about. Because that's the one thing I think you got to have in this business. When I worked for Infinity Broadcasting, which became CBS, Mel Karmazin was the boss, and he had a pretty pretty unique way to give someone a tryout. He would say, if I put you in a studio with no telephone, no records, can you go for an hour? And that's pretty hard to do. I mean, I do it almost every day on my show now. But that to me has always been a pretty good way to find out if someone has the inner workings to just say, yeah, I can put together an hour. And it means you're going to have to be talking about things that maybe you're not familiar talking about. Excuse me, you leave yourself hanging out there a little bit. That's okay. I never mind looking stupid to my audience. It never bothers me if I get something wrong.
Yeah.
It never bothers me. You know, I kid about it if someone calls to correct me. But, you know, that's just how it is. You just got to go with it. And, you know, I would drive myself crazy if I wanted to go through and listen to stuff and go, oh, God, I fucked up that guy's name. I meant to say this name and I meant that name. But generally speaking, I think people know what I was trying to say. So I roll with it. And once you don't hold yourself to a standard to be absolutely perfect at all times, just be honest. Just be honest to yourself. Just be honest with your audience. And that's how I found the most success.
And also, I notice when things are going really wrong, not like half wrong, but like things like what you dealt with this morning, I've dealt with things in a similar fashion. And like, I've been in radio for 10 years and I've been in Tampa for 7. And I would say the first 2-3 years I was here, I would be in panic mode. I'd be getting a little manic, getting hyper. And I feel like as you're in radio longer, there's almost like a certain zen where you want the problem to be over with, that you're so focused on getting it done that you become very productive. And then the problem goes away after a while, if that makes sense.
Listen, buddy, here's exactly what it is. You know, when they talk about NFL quarterbacks, after they've been around a while, the game slows down for them and they can see things.
Yeah.
Once you've been at it for a while and you know this is your arena, you know, it does slow down for you. And even now, I have days where, you know, things don't go quite right. I can reach up and there's a little sweat on my brow. But that's good because that shows I still give a shit. I don't flip out about anything, but I'm still on edge sometimes. You know, I worry if things are going to be good or bad, but then I just go, fuck it. You know, let's get on with it. Especially at this point in my career, because, you know, like I was telling you, 2 years ago, I could not find a job. I could not find a job in radio. So I'm thrilled that I got an opportunity to come back and show that I still got it. And I can still do a radio show that garners an audience. So, in 2022, you just got to do whatever it is you have to do to be successful. That means being inclusive. That means changing content. That means figuring out more than ever how to say what you want to say when maybe you really can't say it. I mean, it's all just a game, right? It's always been a game. And when you look at it like that, hey, it's fun. It beats working.
Yeah, and definitely you really have to, like, paint a picture now. You can't just, like, say things. Because you can say whatever you want to say on air for the most part, but you got to say it in a smart way. If you're talking about sex, like, you can paint a picture and make a listener think you said something, but you really didn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of it changes. You're so much younger than me.
Yeah.
You know, my perspective on doing a show has changed. 20 years ago, I loved getting people in the studio to have them take off their clothes, play trivia, and take off a piece of clothing one at a time. Last person that, you know, that is got clothes on is the winner. You know, first off, there's COVID. I wouldn't do it now. Second, I don't know how I feel about having, you know, 20 funky naked people in my studio. It was always a challenge when you had anything like that involving people in the studio to make it appear to the audience like it was the most wild show that you'd ever seen, and these are beautiful people, and you can't, it's like fucking Caligula, and you can't believe it's happening, when honestly, it was the opposite. It was people, generally speaking, like you would expect. They look like real people. They come down, they take off their clothes. You know, we're all going, wow, oh yeah, but really we're looking at each other like, what the hell is this? There used to be a lot of content that I did that involved either nudity or dirty stuff and stuff that, you know, was right on the line. And now it just seems kind of done. It really does.
Yeah, you'll go back and listen to some of, like, any old show ever, and I would say the whole, like, Jackass movement from, like, the last 20 years when that show became very popular, I feel like shock jock, quote-unquote, radio kind of died when all the morning shows were, like, tasing their intern and that. To me, that was kind of where it got kind of nauseating, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, listen, I'm one of the people that did that. I mean, we would have interns that would get their heads shaved. We would put them out in traffic doing jumping jacks. I would have them down at the end of the road collecting money to see how much they could panhandle for a day. You name it, we did it. Now, I can honestly say that most of those interns, at least the ones that were on my show, ended up getting in radio. You know, some of them, we have one guy, Joe Rockhead. This guy was such an idiot. He was like the worst intern I'd ever had, but he was very lovable, and I could not hate him no matter what he did, but he fucked everything up. He now is in the Senate from Alaska.
Oh, my God.
You know, that blows my mind when I think Joe Rockhead, the guy that used to screw up my coffee order, is now in the Senate.
That's crazy. Is it crazy to see all the interns that you had make it big, or in the moment, did you know they were going to do things?
No, I had no idea. You know, and it's not like I have a coaching tree or anything like that.
Yeah.
I've got some people who I took special care to work with even after we had worked together, just because I thought it was important, because I had so many people in my career who were nice to me when I was coming up, when I was a kid. I mean, I was working in Pittsburgh when I was 16 years old. I worked at 13Q, which was a huge radio station, and I was a boy working with men, and they could have taken advantage of me, not sexually, but I mean, I was a kid. I was like young Sheldon. But to a man, every one of them, Jim Quinn, Ray Zoller, Don Cox, these guys took me under their wing, and they were constantly helping me. You know, just a guy like Don Cox, the late Don Cox, would say to me, you know, boy, you're so good, but don't listen to the PD. You know, do what you want to do. That intro time is your time. He cannot take it away from you. Because at the time we had a PD who actually put tones. This is when the songs were on carts, okay?
Yeah.
And he put tones on the carts, and he had a real fucking stoplight in the studio. When he wanted you to get ready to stop talking, the light would go yellow. And when he wanted you to stop, you'd have a big red light in your face. Well, I figured out that that was just a tone that he put on the cart, that he didn't actually turn off the microphone. So I just started ignoring the stoplight. And a week later, he put two stoplights in the studio. I mean, crazy, crazy stuff. But through all of that, like Don Cox would say to me, listen, this guy, our program director at the time, Bob Savage, he said, he's a frustrated disc jockey. You know, he wants to be us, and he can't be us. So he's going to live to screw with us. Let him put 10 stoplights in there. Who cares? You just do what you do. And I was not breaking any rules. I was not being a shock jock. I was a top 40 disc jockey. I did 6 to 9 at night. But those guys helped me to see that there was a bigger picture in radio. And by the time I got to Chicago, when I was working at my dream station, WLS, you know, some of the disc jockeys didn't like me because, again, I was the youngest guy there. They brought me in as if, hey, this guy's the hot flavor of the month. But, you know, to have like my idol, John Landecker, pull me aside and say, listen, you know, you're really good. You're probably going to have to leave this station because, you know, you're not going to make it here because you're working with the killer lineup that never changes. But I mean, I had enough people who I respected the hell out of, who were nice to me when I was coming up. I've never, ever knowingly not been that way to somebody that's come up to me in real life, a radio person, and not tried to help them out. I never have.
If a radio person like John Landecker says to young Don that he needs to get out to flourish and reach his full potential, should you leave every single time? Because I'm at 102.
Oh, no.
Or should you keep working? Or is there a certain swagger about going somewhere, improving yourself, and doing it somewhere else, if that makes sense?
Well, here's the thing. At WLS, you had, in my opinion, you know, the greatest disc jockey lineup in the world. And I was hired to do full-time swing and weekends and fill in on WLS AM and FM with the thought that when someone leaves, I would get the next job. Well, what Landecker was saying to me was, who leaves WLS?
Yeah.
Nobody does. So he was saying to me, you can stay here and continue trying to, you know, as he said to me, you can keep trying to make the Yankees. Why don't you just go play for the Dodgers?
Yeah.
So as it turns out, I took that advice. And to answer your question, Ryan, it's a different world now than it was when I was coming up in radio. But I took so many jobs that I went through a time in my career where I couldn't get hired because I was a floater, because I would never stay anywhere a year. Because if I would go somewhere 3 months, I would see a better job, I'd send the tape out. If I got that tape and it was $50 more a week at a better job, I would take it. And finally, around 1978, I had a program director say to me, listen, I really want to hire you, but you just got to prove to me that you can stay somewhere 1 year. I don't care where it is. Just go somewhere and stay at that radio station for 1 year. So I did. And that radio station was Providence, Rhode Island, Pro FM. And he was right. Once I stayed somewhere a year, it really helped my rep. But to answer your question, I mean, there's a lot of ways of doing it.
Yeah.
You can stay in Tampa. You can try to work your way into the bone. I don't know what the lineup is there. It's like a WLS lineup you're never going to get into. But my advice to you would be the same advice that I gave to myself. No one's going to give you anything.
Yeah.
You got to go out and get everything you want, and you got to hustle for it. And I know you hustle. I know you're a hardworking guy. I know you love radio. If you really, 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 really want to kill it, expand your horizons, buddy.
That's how I feel, too, because, like, it's cool to be under the universe of a certain place. So for you, WLS, for me, 102.5 The Bone, like, it's awesome. It comes with perks. I've met my hot girlfriend. I've met many comedians. Like, there's a lot of perks, but at the same time, you begin to go, I want to, like, create my own legacy. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what I'm going through currently, is you're just kind of like, I'm ready to risk it all. You know what I'm saying?
Well, then only you can do it. I know you've heard that saying, no risk it, no biscuit, no risk it, no biscuit, whatever it is that Arian says. That's true. That's 1,000% true, but that's on you.
Yeah.
Because like you say, you have a hot girlfriend now, and you've got a little thing going there in Tampa. You know, I mean, I was lucky. My wife made every move with me. You know, we moved across the country. We went from Chicago to Pittsburgh to Chicago to Indianapolis to Detroit to Washington, D.C. to Chicago to Washington, D.C. I mean, I made way too many moves, but that was just how it worked out for me. I would just tell you, you have the right attitude, you work hard, you just got to be a gym rat. You just got to find a radio station that will give you a shot. And here's another piece of advice that you didn't ask me for. Don't worry about the money, because it's been my experience. It will come to you.
Yeah.
I bet on myself every time. If you knew the deal that I signed here, you'd laugh. You'd laugh. Really, you would. But I signed a deal that gives me tremendous upshot. If I just show the slightest bit of improvement, I'm going to be right back where I was. And that's the key. That's the key. Just believe in yourself. Push in yourself. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid of success. And you will, if you decide to leave Tampa and go for another job, I promise you, you will get fired. And you will be down and distraught, because that's just the way it happens, because radio is not an easy business. I mean, I thought it was simple, and that really screwed me when I was a kid, because I started working in radio full time when I was 15 and a half. I had enough credits to graduate high school, and I left my parents' home at 16. I worked in Pittsburgh when I was 16. I worked in New York City, the biggest market in the world, at 99X in 1978, and I made $45,000 a year, which was more than my dad made. And I honestly thought, how tough is radio.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Well, of course I found out right away because I thought my shit didn't stink. And, you know, I got fired in New York for breaking a union rule, a dumb mistake. And then guess what? I couldn't find a job after that. I went from market number one, New York, to like whatever Evansville, Indiana is, market 145. So it's been up and it's been down. But once you get in a groove and once you feel good about yourself, you know, and that's the key, Ryan. I mean, I say this a lot of times on the air kiddingly, but it's true. If you make yourself laugh during a show, you've done a good job. Entertain yourself, and then the people will be entertained. And once you do that, it really doesn't matter if you have a shitty book or if the sales are down. It doesn't matter because you feel pretty good about yourself. And that's the other thing that I will leave you with because I've been on your phone way too long.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I was working at WROK in Rockford, Illinois, 1440 a.m. I'm 16 years old. I'm working from 10 at night till 2 in the morning while I was going to high school. And my program director, Carl Hamilton, said to me, these are the three R's of radio: ratings, revenue, rock and roll. Never get that order mixed up. Never. And that stuck with me to this day. That still is the mantra that I live under. I got to get good ratings. The station's got to make good money, and then I can rock and roll. It's not rock and roll, and then everything else comes to you. You've got to think that way. And more than ever in 2022, you got to be a team player. I mean, talk about social media. I'm working with our sales staff constantly. It's like, hey, can you, you know, Roy Rogers, they're going to bring food down for your crew every morning. Can you give them a plug on social media? Yes. Hey, you've got this going on. Can you plug this on social media? Yes. It's just the way it works now. You don't want to be that guy that says, I don't like doing endorsements. Are you kidding me? At iHeart, at least where I work, if you get endorsements, you're the king.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different way of looking at things, but again, I'm embracing it in 2022 because it's my path to success. That you got to do all those other things so that when you get in there, all you're doing is having fun and doing the best show you can. I have a great life, Ryan. I have a fantastic life. I have no complaints. But I will tell you, I get up at 3:30. When I get up at 3:30, I'm happy. Because I know for the next 4 or 5 hours, I'm going to be doing the job that I like to do, the only thing I know how to do. I'm good at it, and God damn it, I have fun at it. I say that to myself every day, and it's not a pep talk. It's the truth. It's the fucking truth. Like I say, 2 years ago, when I couldn't find a job in radio, I would have given my left nut for a shot to do mornings again. So, you know, there you go. I hope I didn't monopolize all of your time.
You did great, Don. Before I let you go, when it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be in radio?
That was tight. Tight board, good pipes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I guess, Ryan, what the only thing that I hang on to that makes me feel really, really good about the show without having done a good show or having good bits is when someone will say to you, you know, my dad died the other day, or, you know, my dog died, or I lost my job, or whatever it is that happened to someone. When they say, when I heard your show for an hour, it took me away from that. That's it right there. That's a sweet spot. That's why you do radio, really. All the other trappings and everything else is bullshit. Because my thought is, when I go up to see God, despite all the shit that I've done in my life, God's going to look at me and he's going, okay, you know what? You're a pretty good husband. You're a pretty good father. But goddamn, you touched a lot of people. He won't say goddamn because he's God. He'll say, me damn, you touched a lot of people. You're really not a bad guy. Come on in.
Damn right, Don. Where can people find your show? How can they listen to your latest morning show?
Well, let me see. That would be WBIG.com or the iHeartRadio app. Just search out the Don Geronimo Show. It's a podcast. I play some music on my show, which was a compromise I made with this radio station. And it's working out for me because I have a background in music radio. And I play just enough music to keep my bosses happy. And they stay off my butt and let me do what I do. And I'm doing pretty much a hybrid show now, but the podcast is just all content. It's about an hour 20, hour 30 minutes every day. They cut out all the music and all the commercials. It's just the ins and the outs and my content. It's right there, WBIG.com, or, you know, wherever you get your podcast, blah, blah, blah.
Well, Don, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I've been a fan for almost two decades, and your show sounds really good. Keep up the good work, and it's been a lot of fun having you on Happy Hour.
You got it, Ryan. It was my pleasure, man. Keep kicking ass. I am very impressed with your work ethic.
Thank you.
Stay with it.
What's
up? Your hot girlfriend. I said hello.
I will. Thank you, Don.
You got it. Bye, Ryan.
Happy Hour. Happy Hour.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.